Becoming Digitally Mature, insights from a global digital enablement leader. In this episode, Jim Barker from Cooperative Computing shares the company's story and practical insights through relatable experiences. You'll learn how to accelerate your digital initiatives and overcome common transformation hurdles that many businesses face today. I'm your co-host, Anthony Pearl, and whether you're just starting your digital journey or looking to accelerate your existing efforts, it's time to get enabled digitally. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the podcast. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Anthony. Glad to be here.
And I guess we've got to start by introducing you to everyone in the audience, and then we're going to get into really what the whole purpose of this podcast is going to be about, because it's called Get Digitally Enabled, and I really want to unpack that. But let's first start by introducing you to the audience. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be part of the business.
Yeah, sure. So we're based here in Dallas, Texas, and a really good friend of mine is our CEO, and he and I have been through three different ventures together, and each one of those has been some degree of technology enablement. This one happens to be a really fun one because we're on an exciting journey in a time where there's such a shift going on in the way consumers leverage digital technology. And so we came into this organization, we're global in nature, we came into this organization with a real focus on helping growth-minded organization accelerate into the automated economy.
So how long's the business been operating, and what sort of got it started initially?
Yeah, great question. The business has been going for about 13 years, and what really got it started was going into organizations where we would see these, what most people call digital transformation exercises taking place, where a firm would be called in to come in and help someone that was in a pretty challenging situation on their digital journey. And the answer was oftentimes rip and replace things that were already there. And we just knew that there was a different way of doing that. We knew that there was a way of going in and really helping enable the systems and the tools and to really hyper-automate, hyper-personalize, and make data-driven decisions out of many of the systems and technologies that were already in place.
Yeah, it's such an important thing, isn't it, these days, because technology is moving at such a rapid pace.
Oh, yeah, significantly. In fact, we would say, you know, there was actually a study put out, I think, in 2010 by Google that's called the Zero Moment of Truth, where they talked about how consumer buying behavior had shifted so dramatically with these digital devices that we walk around in our pockets now. And as we think about it, you know, almost every 12-year-old and above in the world now has one of them with them at all times. And so everything is just really, even over the last 5 years, it's just really significantly grown in that space, where now we expect things to be able to click a few times and get whatever we want. And you and I could be sitting here and I could say, Anthony, that's a good looking shirt you have on. And you could say, oh yeah, I got it at XYZ. And literally in a matter of seconds, I could have one ordered and most likely have it to my home tomorrow. And if you and I are on another call in a couple of days, I may actually be wearing the same style of shirt that you're wearing right now.
Yes, we won't go into the fact that that could be a huge problem, isn't it? I mean, women would never do that, but men maybe would copy each other. But it's interesting, though, that, I mean, you and I can remember a time when technology was not something that we could easily put our hands on. And now it's, you know, as you say, we've got such powerful tools just in our pocket, and there's an expectation of the speed at which they're growing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's interesting. I think about when I got into the professional business world back in the mid-90s, and coming in at the time, My first sales job was, my sales manager gave me what we called at that point in time the yellow pages and handed it to me and said, here's your clientele, start calling. And I think about that day and I think, wow, what, you know, most of the people that I was working around at the time had some of those yellow books sitting around and they were doing kind of the same thing I was doing. And it took me a bit, but as technology was advancing, within a year, I had a setup where I had a laptop that was connected, even though it was done through one of those old serial connections into the back of my phone. I had software on there at the time. You know, back in those days, everyone was using ACT, Goldmine, daytime organizer, something like that. I had daytime organizer and was actually loading that. And it was, I was like an anomaly at that point. I mean, most of the people around me thought I looked crazy to them. They didn't understand what I was doing. And these days we walk into the office, and if you're taking a sales job for anyone, you expect those things to just be their table stakes. You have to have those things in place to be able to operate as a sales performer, I would say.
Yeah, we forget how quickly that it has moved. You know, I certainly remember in school days getting extra marks for typing an assignment. I think we talked about privately, but happy to share with the listeners that when I first started in the media, that we had a typing pool. Everything would be retyped to go onto teleprompters for the news readers to have on later that day. I mean, you know, that doesn't exist anymore because we're all typing into our phones, let alone into computers and things as well. So the pace and the expectation around some of these things is just enormous, and it's incredibly difficult for business to keep pace with it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's really, even if we go back to what that zero moment of truth, they called it ZMOT. And even as you go back to that, the whole concept behind it was that the brands had always had control in the marketing space. Google used it as a marketing, you know, to kind of talk about the marketing journey for a customer and how the brands had lost control at that point in time. And again, this was 2010. Here we are in 2025. And at that point, 15 years ago, consumers had just taken over control because there was this thing called the internet and social media was coming out, and people could look at, you know, it was no longer just I wanted to go buy this teeth whitening toothpaste. It was, I could literally on the device that's in my hand look really quickly and see what 1,000 other people said about it. And as that continued to progress, we just see it like today. It's like, you know, now we're doing all kinds of things with these same devices. And so what's happened is our lives outside of work have driven, you know, the need of expectations that now we're actually seeing this younger audience, like my daughter's age, coming into the world, this work world, with the expectations of things really being digitally enabled and not understanding why things are so hard. And so, you know, the expectation now is not only, you know, not only customers having to pay attention to customers and customer needs, but it's also having to pay attention to the people that you're building on your team and bringing them into the organization as well, because their expectations have risen so greatly around the things that they can just do on these phones and tablets that, you know, weren't even in existence when you and I were getting into the professional world.
Yeah, and it's amazing how intuitive it is, isn't it? I mean, we see, you know, almost, you know, 2-year-olds really that pick up an iPad and just know what to do with some of it. It's quite amazing how intuitive it's become for the younger generations. And it is something that, you know, us a little bit older can remember a time pre all of this. You're much more conscious of having to learn it all the time. And that's hard for business because you're dealing with really two different age groups of people in most businesses where the way you take up technology can be quite different.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It reminds me of a power sports company that we were working with that they did a lot of distribution and put different types of what they'll call aftermarket parts. So if it didn't have Harley Davidson or someone's name on it and it was a third party, they would provide those out to a lot of these in the United States here, these what they call the power sports dealerships. And at the time, the organization was thinking about rolling out this business-to-business e-commerce portal and saying, oh, we've got to train them all on the portal. And at the time, we were saying, wait a second, you know, this was about 10 years ago. And we were saying, hang on a second, you know, when Amazon rolled out, what kind of training did you get on Amazon? And so it's like, well, I didn't get any training. Why are you asking that? And it's like, well, you got to think of it from the standpoint of consumers do not necessarily want to be trained on something. They want it to be so intuitive that they can just use it. And so we need to be building towards that and that type of experience with our customers as well.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think there was that phrase that we probably grew up with as well, where it's, I know my dad used to always refer to, read the B manual. And it was one of those things where you sort of go, nah, I don't want to do that. Just want to play around with it and work things out. And then every now and then it'd tell you something. Did you know it could do this? Oh, no, I had no idea it did this. And I think that's really interesting too, because you see whatever technology is in place these days, that often there are updates almost, you know, on a weekly basis. and new features are being added all the time, keeping track of all of these things and being able to utilize them, I find that sort of it's a never-ending battle almost. And some people, as you say, it is intuitive and they'll just keep picking up new things all the time. Other time people have just gone, I know the basic functionality, we're just going to stay with that. And again, this is a difficult thing for business to make sure that people are maximizing the potential, because often those features can make a real difference to time and effort and output.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, because what's happening is this digital landscape, things are developing so fast that it's hard for people to keep up with what's taking place. And so, you know, as you and I sit here and talk, there's someone designing and developing new software that's going to be remarkable, that you and I will end up using in some capacity. And so it's strange to think about those types of things are happening at such a rapid pace these days. People, you know, part of that we talk about organizations that are struggling with digital enablement are most of the times they're missing the art of what's really possible, because things are changing at such a rapid pace. And they haven't recognized yet that the shrinking risk of failure is continuing, you know, that risk of failure is continuing to diminish over time, because what used to be, even like in the example I was using a minute ago, and I know, well, you and I had some talks earlier about even like CRM systems and then customer relationship management systems. You know, if you think about making a decision on Salesforce.com back in the early 2000s, most organizations, this was a 12-month plan. They would bring in someone that spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to prepare and roll it out and all of that. And these days, you know, people are turning up software left and right and running it for 30 days. And if it's not working, they're just turning it off. And so that iterative nature of adopting and putting the tools in the hands of the people that can actually use it in a way that makes them more productive, more effective in their work, and allow them to get better results is really advancing at such a rapid pace. It's just hard for organizations to keep track of it.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point as well, is that ability to switch things off and on. It's one thing when it's a trial, as you say, we're going to test this out for a period of time and you've got some criteria and you run that for a period and decide yes or no. I think what's more challenging is the technology that people have been using for a long period of time and being able to say, well, we're going to stop that because it's no longer the best practice or the best that we can get for what we're doing, and we're going to move over here. That's a difficult decision.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. My reference point to that power sports company, you know, this was a good sized power sports company. And not quite a $1 billion company, but pretty close. And they were running AS/400 at the time. And so one of the things that was so challenging for them was they'd been running on it forever. And the leap that they had understood they were going to have to make to transition was so challenging for them, even just their thought leadership around how to get their mindset around that shift. And yet at the same time, they were having a really tough time, you know, recruiting really good talent, bringing in good talent to the organization, and naturally so, because they're bringing in all of this young talent into the organization, and they're sitting down and looking behind this, you know, this AS/400 screen and going, what? I don't plan on doing this. This doesn't look like fun to me. I think I'll go do something else. And so it's tough to adopt, and yet, you know, some people hold on to that technology. But it's also like, I think about my daughters are in their 20s, and each one of them, as they get out into the working world, it's just an interesting journey. My youngest just got her first, she got out of college and just got her first job. And as she was evaluating companies, you know, the capitalist dad, you know, that got his first job in the early 90s, was thinking, okay, you got three offers. One of them significantly more than the second, and the second and third are pretty close together. You're probably going to take the first. And she actually took the second. And when I talked her through, like, okay, so help me, you know, she's saying, Dad, help me, I want to make this decision, make it a good decision. As she's talking through it, she did a day in the life with the first one. Or actually, she did a day in the life with the second one that became her choice, and decided she really liked what she was doing. But before she took the first one, she wanted to go do a day in the life. And when she went to do that, she was like, nope, I don't see myself doing that. And so as I started talking to her and asking questions, things kept coming up, and she used spreadsheets. You know, she used spreadsheets two or three times, and I was like, what's your beef with spreadsheets? You learned how to use Microsoft Excel in college, all this. And it became really aware to me that it's like, hey, Dad, if I was going to do that, I would have gone to school for accounting. That's not what I went to school for. So I don't see myself living in and out of spreadsheets. And so as I just thought about those two organizations and the difference in her experience, you know, one of them paid her less than the other was going to pay her, and she still took that role. And it was because that organization was much closer to the digital experience that she's witnessed now, you know, in her young 20s. I have to remember that she's witnessed this for over 10 years of her life, probably close to 15 years of her life now, depending on when her mother and I got her first phone. But, you know, these days, most kids, by the time they're 12 years old, they've got some type of device. And so it's like she probably had one by the time she was 12. So she had 10 or 12 years there of living on in a digital space that her expectations when she walked in were not to live in that, you know, that AS400 example that I used with the other company. While it wasn't the same, it was close to her, that being the spreadsheet world, so to speak.
Yeah, it's and that's the challenge, isn't it? It's, you know, you've got a situation now, and it's kind of changed from when we were younger, that you probably weren't evaluating choices. You were lucky to get one job offer, so you jumped at whatever that was, and you progressed through the ranks and expected that you'd probably be there for a few years. Whereas with the younger generations, they're getting offers because of the nature of the economy at the moment. But on top of that, they have these expectations around technology and the way things are going to develop and the way that their careers are going to develop, which they're not afraid to jump around and do things. So if you're a kind of business that wants to employ and take advantage of, in the right way, I should say, of some of these younger kids who are coming in with fresh ideas and great approaches and, you know, wanting to use the technology, you also have to cater to them to do that. And again, balance that with some of the people that have been there for a long time and maybe of a generation where it is a little bit harder to adapt and pick up the new things.
You're absolutely right. And that's what's changing at such a rapid pace. I mean, literally, we could look at the last 5 years and just think about everything, especially even in the last couple of years with artificial intelligence coming out now, where it's been around for decades. You know, now it's come to the real market where people are using it with this generative AI, where, you know, now people are going in and asking ChatGPT questions and getting answers to things that, you know, typically they'd be Googling and to see, okay, what's the best result? Let me click into it and read it. Now I can just be really specific with my prompting and get the direct answers of what I'm wanting. And so those expectations just continue to rise over time. And it's at the most rapid pace it's ever been. I think we'll look back at this time and say technology is advancing more rapidly than it ever has in the history of the world. I just feel like it's, you know, there's new things coming on every single day. And it's really tough for organizations to keep track of it.
I was going to say, what are the breaking points for organizations typically that you're dealing with? What is it that's seeing them put up their hand and come looking for you?
Yeah, I would say, look, there's this element of, and I'll use the States for this purpose. I'll say we come up through our educational systems with a thought process that everything's very hierarchical in nature. And so, you know, there's a discipline around a child-adult type relationship on getting approvals in companies for different things. And what we're seeing now more than anything is a lot of this hierarchical structure of how we come up. And you can think about this through our education systems, the military, government, all of those things. And this goes all the way back to the industrial age. It's like where everything was kind of built. And so while it was really good, what's happening is this whole agile, lean development mentality of leveraging creative wisdom has changed the way a lot of these organizations are structured. You know, we have a very flat organization ourselves, and many of our clients, we challenge to say, hey, at some point to break down those silos, you need to have less around structure of a typical hierarchy and much more around iterative nature of teams working together. There's one company, one of the largest companies in the world today that I have a close friend that works for, that when he went in, young guy, very, very brilliant. When he went into the organization for the first year, he kind of went through these efforts of being part of teams, and then he was given teams. And as I talked to him about 3 years ago, now he's been there 4 or 5 years now, as I talked to him about 3 years ago, he leads a team. There's 7 people on his team. They're given an annual budget to solve a really big problem for this very, very large organization. And as they go in to solve these problems, I ask him, Preston, you know, what's your reporting structure? And so he says, well, I technically report to our people people, our talent people. And otherwise, I report to a committee once a month and give them an update on what we're working on. And so it's not like, oh, I report up through the COO or I report up through this. It's not like that. It's really flat. It's, you know, it's almost like incubating companies inside. And it's this whole innovation concept of putting groups of people together that can really solve some big problems in a way that's a lot different. And so part of the challenge really resides between our ears. You know, it's like the possibility of thinking, what does that look like? You know, I grew up with parents. I had things I would ask my dad for, things I would ask my mom for, and that was the structure of how decision making was made for me. And so when I needed to do something, I went through that process. Now, you know, I'm adult, I do things differently, and yet that's how businesses are operating more. It's like empower people to really make the change that they need in the organization. And it's a struggle because you still have to say, okay, with that, you need to still have some degree of systems and structure around it. But it also relates back to, you know, what is the organization's capability, and give that organization the capability to go out and perform the way they need to with whatever systems and structure that needs to look like.
That brings us to the end of this episode of Get Enabled Digitally. I'd like to thank Jim Barker for sharing his insights and expertise today. And if you found value in our conversation, please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform and leave us a review, because your feedback helps us continue to deliver quality content that matters to you. For more information about cooperative computing and how they can help your organization accelerate into the automated economy, check out the links in our show notes. Have questions or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes? You'll find our contact information in the show notes as well. This show has been produced by podcastdoneforyou.online. I'm Anthony Pearl, and until next time, keep moving forward to get enabled digitally.